This is the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, the podcast for small law firms who want to create a thriving legal practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to generate more revenue and elevating your life and your law practice. In each episode, we'll tap into some of the closest guarded secrets from industry titans, thought leaders, and legal specialists. We're glad that you've tuned in. And once again, it's time to help you become an ultimate attorney. Hey, everybody. Dre Redfern here.
And Alexis Neely.
And welcome back to the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, where in this episode, we're going to take a deep dive into metrics, measuring, and multiplying you as an individual and as an attorney. And we've got some really cool and interesting metrics for you to take a look at today.
Yeah. And you know, if you are like most attorneys, you might be zoning out when we start talking about metrics. Maybe if like me, you maybe even you went to law school because you didn't like numbers and you thought, I never want to deal with numbers again. But now here you are, you're a business owner. And actually metrics, numbers are the lifeblood of your business. And you've got to be looking at certain numbers every single week. Yes, that's right. Every single week, not on a monthly or quarterly basis, but every single week, if you really want to have a law practice you love and be an ultimate attorney. And here's what I can promise you. After this episode, you're going to know exactly what numbers to look at. So you don't have to stress out or wonder what you should be looking at or not do it because you don't know what to be looking at. We're going to tell you exactly which numbers to look at and make it really easy for you.
So Ali, I love this concept and I agree 1,000% because it is like, we literally have KPIs, key performance indicators that we measure every single day just to track where we're always going. And so what are some of these initial metrics that we can use to start diving in with our audience here to really get them going on that right direction?
Yeah. So I want to say that I spent years trying to narrow these metrics down and we're going to shortcut this for you. So you don't have to spend years. Literally, you could start tracking these metrics today, this month, and reviewing them. I like to review my metrics on Mondays. By the way, you should pick a day of the week that you review your metrics. Put a block of time, 30 minutes to an hour on your calendar and make that an appointment with yourself that is more valuable than any client meeting that you'll have. And if you have team, you want to be going over these metrics with them on a weekly basis as well. Again, appointment on the calendar. And it is more important than any appointment with a client that you have. So you don't cancel these meetings in the same way you wouldn't cancel a meeting with a client. So what are these metrics? There's five of them. Get out your pen and pad of paper or listen to this again when you have one. And you're not driving or something like that, because these five metrics are going to make all the difference for you. The first metric that you want to be tracking each and every month, and I do track these monthly, though I look at them weekly. Okay, so when I say that, what does that mean? So I'm looking at them to see where I am on a weekly basis, but I have goals for each one of these metrics, depending on my practice model. And there's, I'll help you identify that by sharing three different practice models with you. So you have goals on a monthly basis. Again, you're tracking your progress towards those weekly. The first one is the number of inquiries into your practice, the number of inquiries into your practice. What qualifies as an inquiry? Any email or phone call to your office where somebody is saying, how can I work with you? Or how much does it cost to work with you? Of course, that's a big one that you probably get. That's considered an inquiry. So whether you're tracking it or your assistant is tracking it, you put a notch down, you mark it down as a one anytime somebody either emails or calls. What does it cost to work with you? How do I get started? Something like that. So that's number one. Number two, the second metric that you want to be tracking is how many of those inquiries book appointments. Book appointments. Now, in most cases, if you're following our client engagement system, that appointment is going to be for a initial meeting that has a name, a purpose, and a value. It's not going to be for a 15-minute quick intake, right? A 15-minute quick intake is really just to screen people to see if they should come in and meet with you. If they are coming in to meet with you, it's for a meeting that has a name, a purpose, and a value, and is going to lead to them hiring you if you're doing things right. So it's how many of those inquiries turn into booked appointments. So for example, it could be for a family wealth planning session if you are one of our personal family lawyers, or if you're a creative business lawyer, it could be a lift your life and business planning session. If you're doing divorce, it could be for a relationship dissolution strategy session, whatever you name your initial meeting. So that's metric number two. How many of the inquiries turn into booked appointments? The third metric is how many of those people keep their appointments. How many people keep their appointments and show up prepared, right? Because you should always have some homework that people are doing before they come in and meet with you so that they're properly prepared for that meeting. And then
on the topic of homework, like, what exactly would you recommend that our audience and listeners do in order to basically prepare them and give them that homework and get them ready to go ahead of time?
Yeah, this is a huge topic in and of itself, right? So I'll just give you a little preview of it here, and we could do a whole episode on client engagement strategies. And we give our clients homework ahead of time that is going to make sure that when they come into the meeting that they are ready to hire us. They have already done some level of their own pre-education, and then what I can do in the meeting is take them through a process by looking at the homework that they've completed ahead of time to know whether I can help them and to help them tell me really if I can help them. So in the case, of course, of like estate planning with our personal family lawyers, they're sending out it's a pre-meeting package. It has a bunch of things in it, but one of them is a family wealth inventory and assessment. So the client is getting more financially organized than they've ever been before. They're listing out all of their assets, and they're coming in prepared for that meeting. And there's some benefits to them of doing the homework, by the way, like that they're getting more financially organized than they've ever been before. And they make sure that none of their assets would be lost to the State Department of Unclaimed Property because their family doesn't even know what they have, because so many people don't know what they have. But it's, of course, extremely beneficial to me as the lawyer, because that way I can actually know if I can help them, and I can help them choose one of our planning packages, which I can't do if they don't do that homework.
It helps you better utilize your time together.
Totally.
It comes to once they're in the office, you have that meeting,
you
can better optimize your time together, but it also gives you more time to really show and your credibility while at the same time really showing how you can actually help them instead of just talking about it. And I think, if you get that education and that pre-education gone up front, that's amazing. It's a great step in the right direction.
Yeah. And that's just, one piece of an overall big puzzle and strategy, whereby the people who are coming in to meet with you start to see you as a trusted advisor from day one, from that very first inquiry into your office. That gets very well structured out. So we've got three metrics so far. How many inquiries? How many of those inquiries book appointments? How many keep their appointments and come in prepared for their meeting? And then how many of those engage your services? How many of those engage your services? And then at what average fee? So these five metrics, if I'm looking at those five metrics on a monthly basis, I'm going to be able to zero in on exactly where you need to be focusing your energy and attention, because most lawyers are simply too scattered. They're not laser focused. And if you are laser focused on reaching your goals, on getting from exactly where you are right now to exactly where you want to be, that is the sign of an ultimate attorney, because you're going to be on the fast path trajectory to get there, no matter where it is.
And it makes it really easy that if you're lacking in any particular area, it's really easy to diagnose.
Yeah.
So that if you really aren't, getting the average, or the income that you want to, but you have inquiries, you know how many you're booking and they're great numbers, you know how many people keep their appointment and that's solid. But maybe it's your average fee that's keeping you from reaching those income levels. It makes it just 10 times easier to actually diagnose where any potential problems may be or where they could be in the future, where they may arise, if you actually have those metrics, those KPIs, to really actually have a good hold on your business.
Right. And we talked about, metrics and multiplying you, right? So that was the title of this episode here is metrics, measuring, and multiplying you. And this is the key to multiplying you, because when you are looking at your metrics, then you also know where to focus your team, right? So let's say that you're getting inquiries and the phone is ringing, the emails are coming in. I had a client I was working with, a divorce lawyer up in Canada, on this. They were getting plenty of inquiries, and they were, even once somebody came into the office, they were getting hired, and they were even getting hired for a decent average fee. So what we were able to identify, though, is that his front desk folks needed more training and just a little bit more systems, because people were making inquiries and then they weren't actually making it into the office on a consistent enough basis. So we made some small tweaks to their system there. And what we did in that case is we built in a system whereby the gal who was responding to the inquiries, as soon as an email came in, because a lot of their inquiries came by email, she just sent back a very quick message, and we automated this, so it wasn't even manual on her part. They immediately got a quick message that said, "Hey, thanks so much for your email. I would love to get on the phone with you to speak more about your situation in particular and identify how we can best help you. Here's my phone number. Call me right now. I'm waiting to hear from you." And bam, she's getting on the phone with 90% now of the people who email in, and they're making appointments. And so who were emailing in prior to that were just falling through this hole in their system. And here's what's amazing about it, Dre, is that if we had not been tracking those metrics to diagnose exactly where the breakdown is, my guess is that that lawyer would have said his marketing wasn't working.
Yep.
He would have said his marketing wasn't working because he's not getting enough appointments booked. But in fact, it wasn't his marketing.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is that, you know, in this world where in most businesses, it's marketing blames the salespeople, salespeople blame marketing, and then no one actually moves any forward. But in situations like this, if, you know, you're not closing leads, you're not closing individuals who are, you know, have some sort of engagement with you, or like whether they're interested or not, yeah, you could blame one of 1,000 things. And marketing is usually the easiest thing to blame, especially if you're not making the money that you want to. But that's actually a wonderful example of just showing that by having those KPIs, mm-hmm. those metrics, and being able to measure it and track it, mm-hmm. it really does go a long way to multiplying you and diagnosing any of those potential issues. But so let's back up a little bit. What if some of our audience is, maybe they are not quite getting the amount of inquiries that they want to yet.
Right.
Maybe it's an issue of, I've just started my practice. I'm getting my feet wet. I just want to hang up my own shingle and do this thing.
Yes.
How do I fill my pipeline? How do I do this? Because that's great. It's like, you know, inquiries sound great and bookings sound great. And average fees sound great.
Yeah.
But I don't have anyone calling me right now. Yeah. And I think that if you add that dynamic in with a newer attorney, maybe, you know, a new solo attorney or a new small firm, it creates a different sort of dynamic. So if that's the case, then I would recommend, you know, potentially recommending to measure a few additional metrics. The number one would be traffic. Mm-hmm. You know, how are you getting traffic into your law firm? Is it paid traffic with like something like Google AdWords? Is it, you know, some of the print media or Facebook advertising? It could be one of 10,000 things. Mm-hmm. But that could also be networking. Like, how many networking events or individuals do you meet with that could be that traffic or potential customers that may even, you know, that are pre-inquiry, but are interested in, you know, potentially continuing that conversation further. And that's an initial sort of, you know, at least barrier metric. Like, what is the traffic numbers that you look at? And when I said earlier, there are metrics that we measure every single day, that's one of them. What was our traffic like the previous day? Because if you're doing it, and as you scale and as you grow, that's a really important metric to watch out for, because, you know, maybe yesterday we only reached 10,000 people, whereas 2 days ago we did something different or we turned something off, and all of a sudden we were getting 30,000 people, or at least, you know, views that day. So we just dropped by 20,000 views in a single day. That's worth diagnosing that day. And that may not be the exact scenario that you're in. And obviously it's a little scaled up by the numbers, but if you're getting, you know, maybe it's 10 people a day to your website. Well, that's a good thing to know. Maybe you tried a different paid media strategy. Maybe you're doing Google AdWords or some other advertising platform, and all of a sudden you go from 10 to 100. Mm-hmm. That's a really great increase in traffic to be able to, you basically filter on down how those individuals can become inquiries. But it doesn't just stay traffic. If you have traffic, like, that's great, but you have eyeballs visiting your opt-in page or your download page or your website or whatever it is that you may have sitting out there, but you want to engage with them And the next metric, if you're just kind of starting out, that I would really highly recommend is opt-ins. Like, how many people are opting in to engage with you and your email list? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's your monthly newsletter, or maybe it's something else. Like, there's so many ways that you can interact with your audience as an attorney without being superly over the top, like lawyerly, that people actually want to read. And we see tons of examples where many law firms will do like monthly newsletters that have community updates or cool things that are going on or different aspects of the community, especially in more rural areas where it could be much more of a cohesive sort of community, to help people and shed light on cool things that are going on. And so now you basically just have risen above just being an attorney. It humanizes you. And at the same time, you are also engaging with them in that communication. So if you aren't getting those inquiries yet, those are two metrics that I would highly recommend: is traffic, how many eyeballs are potentially engaging with you and your business, and then opt-ins. How are you getting people to opt into your marketing and your messaging and all of those things? Because the more opt-ins that you have, the more inquiries that you will eventually get.
Yeah. And I really, you know, when I'm diagnosing somebody's business and really looking at where is the trouble, the only time I want to hear somebody say that their marketing isn't working is if they are not getting the inquiries,
Yep.
Or if they're not getting the inquiries, you're right. I'm going to back it up right there to say, okay, what are you doing to build your email list, to build your communication list, to build your, basically your relationship list. Your relationship list, your email list, will become the single most valuable asset of your law practice. That is where your inquiries will come from over time. And I know, you know, so many of you are relying on referrals and you're relying on networking. And if that's what you're doing, you are really shooting yourself in the foot for the long term, and you're building yourself a very shaky foundation. So instead, what you want to do is exactly as Dre said, you want to be building this email list, this list of people who you've come into contact with through networking, through referrals, through attending events, through speaking, through maybe advertising, you know, all these different ways, but they weren't quite ready to hire you. Which is normal, by the way. Do you know that 93% of people, maybe it's even 97, are not going to be ready to make a hiring decision the first time that they come across a service provider? They need a minimum of 7 to 10 touches, not to mention that they may not even be in the market for your services at the time that they come into contact with you. But eventually, possibly, they will be, or they'll know somebody who will be. And so your steady stream of consistent inquiries is going to come from, it's really the phase almost between your marketing and your engagement. It's this phase where you are maintaining contact, you're nurturing, you're staying top of mind with a whole host of people who really need to be hearing from you. And in my book, Dre, it's on a weekly basis with an informative email weekly newsletter, plus on a monthly basis with a special offer, a reason that month to come into your office for one of your initial meetings. And if you are consistently communicating with an email list that will grow over time, everybody's email list, by the way, starts at zero. I ended up, when I sold my law practice, my email list was at 5,000 people, but it started at zero on day one, and then it grew over time. And you know, some people unsubscribed. I don't even care about your unsubscribe rate, really, honestly, because the people who unsubscribe are going to be the people who don't, they're not going to hire you.
But we're going to hire you anyway.
What you want to do is just keep building that email list with your right clients. Stay in consistent communication. Make it interesting. Please do not make it a boring, regular old lawyer newsletter that's like, here's the law today. Really, nobody wants that.
And it's not a business card. It's not, and we're touting beating on your chest how amazing you are either.
Right. Yeah. It's stories. It's entertainment. It's edutainment, education and entertainment combined into one. It's people getting to know not how great you are, but actually how real you are, how human you are. They might want to see pictures of you and your family doing things if you're in estate planning, or things that you've learned in your business that week if you are in business planning, or a recent conflict that you helped resolve if you're in some sort of a conflict area, something like that. So, you know, make it entertaining, tell stories, use pictures, and send it out every single week. Because most people aren't going to open it every week, but they will open it periodically. And then you send a special offer to come in and meet with you every month, once a month, special offer to come in and meet with you. And you will have enough inquiries if you are doing that, right?
You know, I want to actually stop right there for a second, Allie, and discuss that, because there's so many individuals who are actually afraid to ask. And that's actually worth as a metric to the track. If you're not getting inquiries, but you're getting opt-ins or traffic, well, that part right there that Allie just mentioned, you've got to ask for it.
Yes.
And I've actually consulted dozens of solo and small law firms at this point where they hate asking because they feel like it's doing someone or it's bothering someone, or they don't want to tick them off or something along those lines. But if you don't make that ask, then you're doing them a disservice by not being able to help them. And so for the individuals who have a hard time doing this, just find a way to write it once and then automate it. So literally you could have that same email go out, or tweaked email, whatever your scenario would be for your law practice. And for the next 10 months or 8 months or 12 months or whatever you would want to have, so that you can do it once and not have to think about it, because you want to set these automations up and these system up and these metrics up so that you can measure them and track them, but get the heck out of your own way. And if you're not making that ask, and that's your faulty point in your metrics, then that's a really awesome solution that I highly recommend.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And remember, the ask is an invitation. It's an invitation. And so if you are afraid to do that, or resisted to it, or like, no, I don't want to feel like I'm selling something, what I want to invite you to do is represence yourself in the service that you're providing. Represence yourself in the service you're providing. Do you really believe that you're providing a valuable service? And if so, then you want to make that invitation. And if you don't want to make the invitation, you might want to look a little deeper and say, maybe I don't fully believe in the service that I'm providing. What could I do to change that? And that's perfectly
some tough introspection sometimes.
It's so good. It's such good introspection. And sometimes you just have to do that. You have to look inside and be willing to say, you know what? I don't really believe in what I'm offering here. And I had to do that myself, Trey. There was a point in time where I had to realize that what I was offering under the traditional law practice model, I didn't really believe it was really serving my clients. And the fact is that it wasn't. I was putting in place documents that they could have gotten online. Sure, maybe I was, doing a little bit more than they could have done for themselves online, but it wasn't enough for me to really be able to say, yes, I know that what I'm doing is going to keep these families or these business owners out of court and out of conflict. And I had to totally change the way that I was serving my clients, but it was so worth it, because then when I did, I was able to command premium fees for my services and know that I was still the most affordable solution for the people that I was serving. And I was able to increase those metrics really easily without feeling guilty or bad about it.
So I love it. And that's such, a good way for us to wrap up this episode, where you have your metrics, you know what to measure. And if you can do those things, you can easily, or at least find an easier way to multiply you. And having those metrics to watch out for, if you're already an established firm, and if you're just getting started, watching out for that traffic and measuring those opt-ins. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, no matter what you do, no matter what metrics you're measuring, if you're having a stopping point or a roadblock, whatever it may be, looking inwards just a little bit and realizing what may be stopping you from reaching that next level or getting those numbers and those metrics where you want them to be on a daily basis.
That's exactly right. And when you can look at the metrics is when you're able to start investing in the growth of your practice without being totally, freaked out that you're not going to be able to pay for that support staff. Because here's the truth. You're a lawyer. You went to law school. You've got a service that is so valuable that people are happy to pay you for. And they pay you well when you're doing it really well. And you can afford to hire people at $25, $35, even $45 or $50 an hour to support you in your law practice when you're paying attention to these metrics. So pay attention to the metrics, measure the right metrics, and multiply yourself. So get started with measuring those metrics today. And in fact, when you go to the website for the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, I'm going to be giving you my cash flow forecast planning documents so that you can start to identify what your metrics need to be for the practice area that you want to have, the practice model you want to have, whether that's being a work from home pro or a part-time law baller or a seven-figure law practice empire builder. You'll be able to see all of that in the cash flow forecast and planning template and work your metrics back from there. Hey lawyers, I absolutely love, I have a free gift for you today that you are going to absolutely love, and that is the Million Dollar Law Practice Fee Quoting System. Now, I struggled for at least 18 months trying to figure out how to price and package my services and then quote my fees in a way that didn't make me totally uncomfortable every time I needed to do it. And as soon as I figured it out and put in place this million-dollar fee quoting system, literally everything in my practice changed. And I went from the cash flow roller coaster up and down income every month to consistent, steady, predictable revenue that I could count on. I knew that every time a client came in to meet with me and they needed my services, they were going to hire me because they got to choose their own fee to do it in a way that felt really comfortable to me. And I was able to cut down my initial client meetings to less than 2 hours and know within 45 minutes whether or not somebody was going to work with me or not because of this fee quoting system and how I learned how to quote my fees. So if you would love to check that out so you can price and package your legal services in a new way, and in fact, even have your clients choose their own fees, then go to the ultimateattorneypodcast.com website. That's at ultimateattorneypodcast.com and download the Million Dollar Law Practice Fee Quoting System, which will show you exactly how I did that. And you can be on your way to building a high six or seven figure law practice of your own while having complete control over your schedule, loving your life as a lawyer, and becoming the ultimate attorney. So go to ultimateattorneypodcast.com and download that million-dollar law practice fee schedule and fee quoting system now.